Luke 17. Luke 17, you know, the enemy will attack every area. You know, you're looking at two nations at war. We see Ukraine and Russia, and what do they attack? They attack the infrastructure, they attack the military, they attack the food supply, the water lines, the transit. They attack everything in war, and no difference between us and the enemy. You'll attack your home, you'll attack your finances, you'll attack your health, you'll attack your mind. He'll put into your mind things that are contrary to the Word of God, and then after a period of time, you'll begin to justify that. Luke chapter 17 brings up a topic that that's hard. It's hard because it deals with real emotion, real hurt, real problems, real difficulties. And what the devil will do is we'll justify ourselves and say, yeah, but my story's different. And that makes it hard. There's a lot of things that people say the difference between meat and milk of the word is. I believe forgiveness is the meat of the word. Say why? Because that's a tough one to swallow. Tonight we had a chuck roast cooked for like 3-4 hours. It's kind of like that. And that takes some... meat of the word is a little more difficult. Oh, you wouldn't give that to a child. Luke 17. That's real Christianity here. And we'll read this passage, first 6 verses. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves if thy brother trespass against thee. It says, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, which is sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. And Lord, as we approach this passage, I know there's instances and things that we think of in our own mind, in our own heart, our own experiences that we've been through, maybe even going through right now. Lord, I pray that you'd use this passage to help us. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 17, we'll just go verse by verse. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that of offenses will come. He says, tough times are going to come. It's impossible for it not to. The Bible says the rain falleth on the just and the unjust. Pastor Huber used to say all the time, right? Everybody gets flat tires. It doesn't matter. Christians... Non-Christians get cancer. He says it's impossible, but that of offenses will come. There's nothing, you can't stop offenses. There's going to be trouble in your life. It says this, though. He reminds us, but woe unto him through whom they come. Let's be careful that those offenses not come out of our hand. They're going to come, they're going to show up at your doorstep sometimes. Romans chapter 14, hold your hand in Luke 17. We're going to look at some verses. Romans chapter 14, understand what time it is, and we should probably let our people down there know that it might just be probably closer to 8:15, but we'll try and get through this in about 15 minutes or so. But I want to be a help and encouragement to you through the Word of God. Romans chapter 14, verse 13 says, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." You know what that is? That's personal responsibility. That's, yes, I have liberty, but let me be careful not to do something that would cause another brother or sister to stumble. Say, well, the kids these days are so soft. We're not talking about soft, easy. We're not talking about, 35 living at home. We're not talking about that. We're talking about true offenses. Luke 17 reminded us. That said, woe unto him through whom they come. Hey, and in Romans chapter 14, it reminds us there's a possibility that we could do things in our liberty or in our freedom that could cause hurt and trouble to somebody else. Hey, we need to be aware of that. Yes? Yes. It's called consideration. It's not all about you. I had a conversation with one of my children this past week. I think it was this morning, reminding them again. I'm not sure, parents, if you've used these words, maybe I'm a bad parent, but I said this: the world does not revolve around you. And sometimes we as adults have to remember that the world does not revolve around us. Be careful that an offense not come from your hand. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. A quick warning. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse 32. It says, "Give none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God." Don't be an offense to the lost. Don't be offense to the religious. Don't be offense to the church of God. Be careful. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 13. Just back a page. 1 Corinthians 8:13 says, "Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend," look at these words, "I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend." Imagine if we had that mindset. In Luke 17, it says, "Woe unto them." And it seems like there's a lot of decisions that we could possibly make that could be detrimental and hurtful to other people. Now, I understand that I can't, everything I do could possibly cause and be an offense. I understand that. But I need to be careful. We do need to be careful. And I think, and here's a really important word, in the right balance, we apply these scriptures. We're careful with that. Be careful that you not use your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness. "Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend," he says, "I will eat no flesh." I understand meat was a little deeper than just non-vegetable here. So what do you mean? If you read through the passage, if you're familiar with the time here, this isn't just meat. This is meat that is used in idol worship. Understand that, okay? This isn't just like, hey, this person really loves animals and I'm eating, red meat. That's not what this is talking about. This is like really difficult for them to handle because they've been saved out of this culture and now you're just flaunting what they used to do. Now, understand the passage here. Romans chapter 16. Whoa, he says. Whoa, careful. Careful that the offense doesn't come from you. Romans chapter 16, verse 17. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned," and the Bible says, "and avoid them." Cause divisions contrary to the doctrine. Let's make sure that we're also making a big deal out of big deals and not little deals. All right? Luke chapter 17. "Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come." He reminds us, offenses will come. But be careful that it doesn't come from your hand, right? I want to be careful. Verse 2. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Hey, we're trying to reach a generation. Yes? Our classrooms are filled with young people. Before church tonight, the gym had I don't know what you were doing in there, Miss Calopy, but there was a bunch of little girls sitting around in a circle. I thought I heard kumbaya, but I don't know. It was no? Okay, all right. What are we trying to do? We're trying to reach a generation. We're trying to reach a generation for the cause of Christ. That's good. That's right, right? It says here, let's do our best not to offend these little ones. How could we do that? Let's try and live a life of an example of godliness. Look with me to 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter number 2. In verse 1. But there are false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily... 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious, that means destructive ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Hey, it's just warning. Warning, there's a way of teaching out there that's contrary to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Careful of that. Careful that we live a life of not perfection. It's impossible. If you hold yourself to perfection, you'll fail every time. But if you try and live godly, that's a difference. And we'll get into that. We're about to take a next step. 1 Corinthians 9:22. You may read these first two, those first two verses in Luke chapter 17 and go, what on earth does this have to do with forgiveness? It has a lot actually to do with forgiveness. 1 Corinthians 9:22. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Hey, let's be careful that we not think of ourselves too highly, that we can't bring the gospel, if you will, or the lower ourselves to teach the principles of the Word of God to a younger generation. Now they need it too, right? All right, let's go back to Luke chapter 17. It would be a shame if our young people did not, or children didn't, see true Christianity, and he's going to give us an example here. Not to be without error, but the problem would be if we taught our young people to be without forgiveness. It reminds us, offenses will come. Let's be careful that we're not living a life in which we make demands upon, listen now, demands upon our children that we ourselves are not willing to do. We have a whole process at our house. When a child does something wrong to another child or something, but do we hold ourselves to the same guidelines? All right, come over here. And what did you do? Sorry for being mean. No, we don't do general at our house. We get specific. What did you do? And we say those things. Okay, what do you say? I forgive you. No, hold on. We make it do it right. Imagine if we as adults, right?
Come on now.
Shouldn't we be teaching this as an example? Luke chapter 17, verse 3, take heed to yourselves, it says. Luke 17, 3. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. You know, the Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. Hey, there's a right way and a wrong way to handle things. If you want to use social media to vent your dislike of a person, that is the wrong way. Private. Personal. You know what I say? We want to make it as easy as possible to mend that bridge. We want to make it as easy as possible to do right. And the best way to do that is just a personal conversation. I'm not saying you got to dig up old trash and I don't know. There's 1,000 things that we could rehearse, and some things are able to be let go and should be let go. But there are some things that maybe bother you and have been offended, and you can't let go, that you have to go to that person and say, hey, listen, this hurt me. You did, or you said, or and can we mend this? Rebuke him. And then the right response is to say, I'm sorry. Not to defend. Well, you don't know what I was going through that day. McDonald's was, the ice cream machine was closed, and I couldn't get, and it's like, just stop. Again, try and make it easy. Rebuke, repent. And then rebuker, ready, this is your next step. You have two responsibilities out of the three. Your job is to bring attention to it, because quite honestly, the person might not even have known that they did anything. And then when they do ask for forgiveness, it is your responsibility to then forgive. If you're going to rebuke, be ready to forgive, because that's step three. If you just want to cause trouble or cause a thing and to make a big deal of something and right all the wrongs, okay. But the purpose of this is forgiveness. Here's the frequency. How often, right? And if you trespass against thee 7 times in a day. In a day, Brother Sutcliffe. And 7 times in a day, turn again to thee. And my question is there really repentance if 7 times in one day we're asking for... But then I think about me and the Lord. And 7 times in a day would be good. And every single time I ask the Lord to forgive me, what does He do? He does. And then we come to verse 5. I love verse 5. I have a bunch more verses here, but I think we get the point. And I love what the verses, the apostles say. The Lord says these truths, and they just say, we're going to need more faith to do that. Isn't that what it says? And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. We're going to need more power, right? I'm going to need more faith to do that. I can't do that. Mark chapter number 9. This is God's way to handle things. Makes it lighter for you, mends relationships. This is how we fix things with the Lord, right? How about when we're reading our scriptures and the Holy Spirit of God touches our heart and says, you good for nothing, no good, this is you. I don't like that book. That book tells me exactly how I am. Well, how about you repent and then the Lord will forgive and then we can move on with a better relationship. Mark chapter 9 and verse 24, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Oftentimes we get to a place and, man, I'm the limiting factor. Lord, increase our faith. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Forgiveness is not easy. So how do you know? I look at the cross. What it took for forgiveness. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse 3. The Bible says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." There's something about the church of Thessalonica. What were they able to do? They grew in faith. Here I see what increased faith looks like. And I just have to think that maybe the church of Thessalonica was good at forgiving one another. And I see the word, then, charity, every one of you toward each other aboundeth. Why are we so hesitant to forgive? Maybe due to a lack of charity in our heart. I see God with abundance of charity and love was very and is very quick to forgive. One of the greatest enemies of forgiveness is pride. But I was right. I was hurt. I understand that, but how about we humble ourselves and love one another and forgive? The Bible reminds us if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, that's a small seed, but we do know this, that that small seed grows into something very large. And if we, like our faith, could just plant that just a little bit of thing, and if we attribute these things, these principles to our life daily, you know what's going to happen? Something great is going to grow. Something great. Oftentimes, we have to protect our heart against the root of bitterness in growing. But how about we let that faith, that seed of faith grow, and let that thing spring up into something wonderful? Luke chapter number 13 and verse 19. Luke 13, 19 reminds us this. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into the garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree. And the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, I understand he's referencing just a little bit of faith. But could we plant that seed and watch that thing grow? So how do we do that? Being quick to forgive. The process is this: rebuke, repent, forgive. It's easy. It's a formula. As I read the epistles, and I read how God views us, he references to what we used to be, but he never calls us by those names anymore. He says, "And such were some of you." Do we still sin? Absolutely. But you know how he references us? Sons of God. Friends. True forgiveness treats the offender like it never happened. And that's tough. Read that passage today and I thought, Lord, formula is easy. I like math. Formulas make sense to me. This plus this equals that. Rebuke, repent, forgive. I read that and I go, Lord, increase my faith. Because that's hard. Because everything in us kind of fights against that. So maybe there's a circumstance in your life that your prayer is not that the Lord crush the other person to humble themselves, but maybe the Lord increases our faith. Lord, help my faith. Strengthen me. Lord, help me to act on this. Help me to trust you in this. That's real Christianity. There's a generation that needs to see this principle. Let's all stand. If you are here tonight and you hear that and go, you know what? I'm good at forgiveness. I have no problem with it. Praise the Lord. I don't know if that's normal. That's not by accident, we'll say. And that's a blessing. But sometimes that's tough. I think we all could use some help in this area. That's just me. Maybe this message was just for me tonight. But or maybe you're a little bit, maybe you're like that passage too. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, I pray that you would help us to, through love, be quick to forgive, that you would be glorified, and that our faith would be strengthened. Lord, forgive us for listening to our own flesh and what the world has to say about these things. Lord, we need your help in changing our thoughts and mind. Lord, I pray you'd work in these, in my heart. Lord, help me to increase in faith. Lord, we sure do appreciate your forgiveness to us. And Lord, we've done so much more against you, and you had so much more to forgive, and you did it so freely. Lord, help me to share that and express that to others. Lord, we love you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night. Go get your kids. Parents are out of control.